Welcome to the Wealthy After Divorce podcast. Jackie Ressler, a divorce financial planner with almost 25 years experience, and myself, Melissa Freidenberg, financial advisor with Pearl Planning. We are both certified divorce financial analysts and your co-hosts.
If you're thinking about divorce or in the process of divorce, this is a time for you to take a deep breath and give yourself permission to gain clarity on the financial decision you're facing.
While the term wealth typically refers to money and possessions, we know that truly being wealthy means a whole lot more. Together with our guests on this podcast, we will help you live wealthy after divorce.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Wealthy After Divorce. Today, I'm excited to announce our season finale episode is about to air. And this is an episode that is a very special one for my co-host, Melissa Freidenberg, and I. We have really enjoyed co-hosting Wealthy After Divorce this past year, and we're looking forward to an exciting new season that's going to start with our next episode. We wanted to end season one with a bang, and we felt like the best way to do that would be to interview a former client and talk about her experiences going through divorce. She's about 8 months post-divorce, and we wanted to get somebody that could share their insights, their experiences, talk about what went well for them during their divorce, what they wished maybe could have been done differently, but really to get that insight from someone who's looking back on the process. So very excited to have this episode with one of my former clients today. So welcome, Diane.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So we both know that you had a fantastic attorney. Won't mention any names, but she's, I think, one of the best. Do you think that the relationship that you had with your attorney impacted the outcome of your settlement, if at all?
Yes. I mean, absolutely. It was such an emotional and volatile process, and I was able to connect with her, and she made me feel comfortable. She showed compassion and empathy when I needed it, but she also wasn't shy about correcting me when that's what I needed too. Over time, I developed a great deal of trust in our working relationship, and I didn't feel like just another client. I felt like she genuinely cared about me and would fight to get me a good outcome. There were times when we disagreed about how to handle things, and those were the times that I typically deferred to her judgment because I had never been through a divorce before, and this is what she does for a living. And expert advice is what you pay them for, and because of the connection that we had, I believe that she was giving me good advice.
Right, and I think that that is difficult sometimes for clients to understand when they're in the process of divorce, or to know, you know, whether or not they should trust what their attorney is saying to them. But I absolutely agree with you that trust is the most important thing that you have to have that in that relationship. What do you think is the most important quality overall that people should look for in a divorce attorney?
Well, you just talked about it. You have to have trust in your attorney. You have to believe that they have the skills and the desire to fight tooth and nail for you, to get you everything you deserve and everything you're entitled to in your divorce. You have one shot at a good settlement. And if you're seeing red flags in the beginning, or you're not connecting with your attorney, you know, it's time to cut your losses and maybe find someone you're more comfortable with. Something I personally look for was someone whose personality was the opposite of mine. I'm a very soft-spoken, non-confrontational person, and I wanted someone who was able to be the things that I'm not, if that's what the situation called for. It could be that all divorce attorneys are the opposite of my personality, but that was something that I definitely considered.
I think that's really smart. I don't think that all attorneys, divorce attorneys, are the opposite of your personality. And I think, in my experience, that people actually will pick someone who is like them personality-wise. So oftentimes you might pick someone just like you, and your spouse picks someone just like them. And sometimes the relationship that you have with your spouse is going to mimic the relationship that the two attorneys have. So I think that is incredibly smart that you thought to pick somebody who was different. And I think that is something that not everyone thinks about. A pretty popular thing that in my office that I hear people say day in and day out is, I just want to be done. Let's get this over with. Everybody gets to a point where they just say, I just want it to be done. I know that you could probably relate to that. How would you advise others to deal with the frustration of being in limbo and just wanting it to be over?
Well, no matter what you're going through, it seems like hurry up and wait is what you have to deal with. And so you just have to understand that delays are part of the process and do your best not to let them frustrate you. In my case, I was completely blindsided by my divorce, and I needed those delays to emotionally process everything that I was going through. And, you know, it could be too that you can put those delays to good use. You can use the time to find the right professionals that you're going to need to get you through this. We've already talked about having the right attorney, but maybe you need the financial planner like you, Jackie, to help you understand the investments that you and your ex are splitting. In my case, my ex had made some extremely complicated investments, and trying to figure out how to split them or even if we should split them was a complex issue. And maybe you need a therapist to help you or your kids deal with the emotions you're feeling. Real estate agent, tax advisors, there's all kinds of people that you might have to think about hiring if you're able. Your life is pretty messed up at the moment, so just do your best to keep moving forward, you know, one step at a time, so you have less to deal with after the divorce is over and you're starting to feel better. If you're like me, you can't sleep anyway, so you may as well try to do something productive. But by the same token, if you're feeling overwhelmed, then tackle those things when you're ready to.
I think that for many people, that's something that comes to them in hindsight, that they needed time, that they needed the time to process through everything. Because I hear again and again, people say, I just want this to be done. I'll agree to whatever. I just want it to be done. And I've been in that situation myself, where I, you know, whether it's a different transition or when I was getting divorced, you know, where you just reach a point where you just want it to be over. But I do believe that you're right, and that sometimes it's better for clients for it to take longer, because sometimes it's better for them to actually, you know, think through all the pros and cons and overthink it even, because like you said, you have one shot at getting the right settlement. So I greatly encourage people to take your attitude about that and use the time for themselves instead of being frustrated by it, to use it to help themselves. And I love your recommendation of delving into the numbers the way that you did. And I have many clients that do that. Now, you're a data analyst for your profession. So you're really good at numbers, but I find that even people who are good at numbers, that's different than someone who was really involved with the finances, making investment decisions. And it's really helpful for you to understand all of the documents financially that you have, rather than just trust your attorney or your financial professional, you know, to become an active participant in that part of it.
In my marriage, we always had kind of a division of responsibility, and he always did the banking and the investing. And so the work that I did was more of a forensic nature, trying to figure out what he had been up to and where he had spent our money and where he had, tried to just trying to figure out what he did. You know, and to make sure that everything that he said we had as investments was all of it, you know, because you don't want something to be left out.
Exactly. You want
to make sure that everything is uncovered.
Right. And I think that's really hard to do. But a lot of people, I think, find a lot of things by going through, you know, nobody knows your nobody is going to be as invested in what your money you have as you are. So you going through bank account statements and credit card statements is maybe more important than having an expert do that, because you have an understanding of what would be normal, what wouldn't be normal. I also always tell clients that a really good clue to figuring out assets that you may not be aware of is to look at the tax returns. Because on the tax returns, if you have an investment, you might get a 1099 for it. So that's a good place to start. Even, you know, sometimes I've had clients who've taken out an IRA distribution unbeknownst to their spouse during, you know, during the marriage, during the divorce proceeding. All of that will be on the tax returns. So the tax returns are a good place to start, whether you're, you know, working with a professional or not, to try and kind of re-piece together what happened. I always tell clients, and I think, and I believe this wholeheartedly, that it takes a village to get through a major life transition like divorce. What kind of support did you seek out, and how did that help you?
Well, it definitely takes a village. And just when you need them the most, you realize that your village is a lot smaller than it used to be. You not only use your ex, but you lose your relationships with your in-laws, or you can. You're what I call couple friends, and then any other people, you know, in your life that choose to side with your ex. I have one friend who had originally been my husband's friend, but we had been friends for over 35 years. And I was complaining to her one day about how he had treated me throughout the divorce. And she said, well, you just need to get over it, because he deserves to be happy. And I was like, wow. Okay, I see where this is going. Thank you very little. But, you know, that being said, she was half right. I mean, I did need to get over how he treated me, but because I deserved to be happy.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, later on, it became a running joke with me and my other friends, because whenever he would act like a jerk, we'd just say, oh, well, he deserves to be happy. My faith in God helped me tremendously. And then I also relied very heavily on my friends and family. I had one friend in particular who called me every single morning and every single night for months, just so I could vent or whine or talk strategy or whatever.
Wow. And
that was very helpful for me. And I hope everyone has at least one friend out there, you know, like that, because that truly meant the world to me.
I think that's good advice for people that are friends too, because I think sometimes, you know, when your friend is going through, whether it's a divorce or the loss of a spouse, friends don't know what to do. And I think that it's a wonderful thing to start with. Can I call you and just, you know, hear how you're doing? If, you know, more friends would offer that, I think if they knew that that's what people that are going through divorce would welcome.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a very good point. And, you know, through my divorce, I had a lot of anger, a lot of anger. And, you know, even after months went by, I was still fuming at how he had treated me. And I made up my mind that I didn't want to go through life with this anger, and I didn't want to become a bitter person. So I joined a divorce support group called Divorce Care. It's a 13-week program that's Christian-based, and I know not everybody out there is Christian, but if that's not your thing, you know, a Google search on divorce support groups will bring up, you know, numerous other programs that might better suit your needs. And, you know, I have to say it's still a work in progress, but I've been able to let go of a lot of that hurt and anger. So I'm definitely getting better. It was very helpful for me.
Which is pretty amazing, because you're only 8 months post-divorce, and it is a long process. There are some people that it takes, you know, several years to be in a position where they're ready to get over the anger. So
I'm not sure I'm at the point of forgiveness yet, but I'm working on it.
One of the reasons I think that you're a success story, Diane, is because of the detailed steps that you took to secure your financial future right after the divorce was done. Many people want to just push the judgment of divorce into their desk drawer, lock it up, and walk away and not think about it, which I understand because it's such a stressful time that everybody feels like they want a mental break, but that's really dangerous to do for people to put it away and not handle it. Can you talk a little bit about how you managed taking control immediately after the divorce and getting your finances in order?
Well, thank you for considering me a success story because there are many days I didn't feel like it. If I had to come up with a reason, I would say what made the difference for me is that I put in the work. I prioritized the divorce and I made it a point to just keep chipping away at all the different things that I had to do. I kept asking questions about things I didn't understand. I mean, you got probably dozens of emails from me, you know, asking questions. And it's like, well, can you explain this again to me? Because I didn't quite get it, you know.
Which is really important to do. Because sometimes professionals use jargon, me included. And, you know, you just kind of get used to explaining the same thing. And so it is really important that if you don't understand, to make sure that you do understand.
Yeah. I'm also a list maker. And, you know, I would make lists because, you know, the brain fog that you get from all this emotional trauma, it's real, you know. So if you make those lists, at least you have it in front of your face. So, you know, oh, yeah, that's something that I can do today. My motto is just keep moving forward. And, you know, saying this is a lot easier than getting it done because you're an emotional wreck. You're not sleeping. Work is probably crazy. You know, work is always crazy. Mm-hmm. And you've got a million extra things to take care of on top of the things that you normally have to do. And, you know, this is a time where you rely on your experts. And Jackie, if you remember, initially I was hesitant to engage you as a financial planner.
I do remember.
And in my mind, I felt like the brokerage rep that I'd had for 20 years was all I needed. And then one day it just hit me that I needed someone that was going to help me make the right decisions as we were going through these negotiations. And my brokerage rep was not going to do that. He would help me after, but he's not going to help me through this divorce. And on top of that, you know, he also represented my ex. So,
right.
So a little bit of a conflict there. And so
I think that a general, they're just not, that's not what they do every day. So they can't really be expected to know how to advise you about that.
Right. So I needed someone who would represent me, you know, in the mediation, you know, help me get the assets I deserved. Tell me which assets were a good value, which ones were not a good value, which ones I wanted, which ones I probably didn't want. And Jackie, that's where you were very helpful. So I really thank you for that. And then after the divorce was finalized, I kind of had a sense of urgency to get some things done, you know, just to protect me and to protect my kids. And on the day of the divorce, as soon as I hung up from the Zoom call with the judge, I changed all my beneficiaries right then and there.
Wow.
Because I remember looking at my husband's smug face and thinking, this is something I have to do right this minute.
Good for you to turn that into something so positive for yourself and yeah. Your family.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I was awarded the house in my settlement. So as soon as, you know, everything was signed, I filed the quick claim deed. And as our investments were divided, you had advised me to consolidate them into one place. And so I had them all moved to one brokerage firm. And then it took a few months for the quadros to come through. Right. But as soon as we got those and, you know, I started working on getting each one executed right away. Some things the attorneys do, some things, you know, you have to follow through with. And right. When that was complete, you know, then I met with my brokerage firm and I had them run an analysis on everything that I had, all my finances. And, you know, my goal was to figure out how much money I needed in retirement and at what age I would be able to retire. And then after all that was done, you know, well, that was pretty much it. It was
That was a lot. That was a lot.
Yeah. And I don't want to make it sound like I completely had my act together, because there are many nights and weekends I spent watching Netflix.
That's okay.
You know, you got to do what you can. Just keep working through it to get it done. Because the really hard part about all this is you have so many decisions that you have to make, and your brain is fried. And you feel like you're going to scream if you have to read. Feel like you're going to scream if you have to read one more legal document.
I know, and I think that again, you are a success story because you did all of those things. There are some people that might wait 10 years to get their quadros drafted. And what I also really love about the way you went about that process is that you kept asking, "What do I need to do to get this done?" Because like you said, some things are done by the attorney and some things you have to do yourself, but it's not always clear which one of those things you're actually working on. So there's, you know, some part of the quadro process that the attorney is help with, and then there's some part that you have to do, and then they jump back in and then you jump back in. So asking a lot of questions is so important. And just like you said, making sure that you are the one on top of everything. If you could, if you had met somebody that is just starting the divorce process, what is the most important piece of advice that you would give them based on your experiences?
I can't narrow it down to one thing, but there are a few lessons that I learned. And we've kind of touched on this, but you've heard the statement, trust but verify. This isn't the time for that. You need to verify everything. And it's very easy to verify what your ex is declaring, and so much harder to figure out what they're not declaring. And, you know, I knew my ex was having an affair, which he vehemently denied, but I scoured all our credit card statements, and I found evidence where they'd taken trips together. And I was able to use that for leverage and mediation. So, you know, it does help to do those things, to spend that time, you know, looking over those documents and trying to figure out where your money has gone.
I think that's painful sometimes for people to do, but if it's like you said, it could make a difference in your settlement.
Right. And then one thing I'd like to say is, you know, do your best to fight fair. Because you want to be a good example for your kids. Mm-hmm. And I know that the emotions are raging, and it's hard to stop yourself from saying things and bad mouthing your ex in front of your kids. And, you know, just saying those things that you know you shouldn't. But you want your kids to be able to look back on the divorce and say, you know, I appreciate the way mom or dad handled that. And at the end of the day, you want the respect of the people you love. And more importantly, you want to respect yourself.
Right.
And then you need to take care of yourself as much as you're able to, and realize that it's okay to be angry and sad and depressed, because there's so much loss that you're dealing with, and it can be overwhelming, but do the best that you can. Surround yourself with people that will lift you up, and if cereal for dinner and watching TV is all you can handle that day, then so be it. And then the last thing that I'd like to say is I'd like to offer some encouragement that you will get through this. And little by little, you will start to heal. Make sure you keep your sense of humor. Be kind to yourself. You know, promise yourself something from your bucket list for getting through this. You need something to look forward to. And, you know, this is a process that, in my opinion, it's worse than a death. Because with a death, you lose one person, but in a divorce, you can lose half your support system. And it can be soul crushing. It can be very, very hurtful. And, you know, it's been just over a year since my ex walked out on me. And, you know, I've had these months to realize that I'm a lot happier without him. And I have a lot of hope for the future, and someday you will too.
I think that's wonderful advice. So I know that I have one more question that I wanted to ask you. I know that you did something on your bucket list. What can you tell us a little bit about what you picked from your bucket list when it was all done?
I've always wanted to go on a Mediterranean cruise, and we leave in less than 3 weeks from today.
Oh, really? Oh, I thought you went already.
No, it's coming. It's almost here.
Wow. And who are you going with?
I'm going with both my kids. My daughter graduates from college in 2 weeks.
Wow.
And so that's part of her graduation gift. And my son graduated last year, right when the divorce was just beginning. So he kind of got the shaft. So this was going to make up for that.
That is wonderful. I love that. I hope you have a wonderful time. You deserve it.
Well, thank you.
And thank you so much for sharing your valuable tips with our listeners. I know this is going to resonate with so many people. So thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. And thank you for taking the time to host this podcast and for sharing your expertise and your valuable information.
Thank you.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Wealthy After Divorce podcast. You can find more information on Melissa Freidenberg and Jackie Ressler on our website, www.pearlplan.com, as well as on our podcast website, www.wealthyafterdivorce.com.